Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't fight for my faith till I die. There is a reason why.
Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host once again this evening, Brother Michael. And tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee back with us again here in the studio. Tonight's teaching is going to be titled Peace, the Power of His Presence. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get ready and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve Lee. Pastor, you have the mic.
Thank you, sir. Amen. So if you would, beloved, let's just join our hearts in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, I want to talk to you today about peace, the peace of God. The title is Peace, the Power of His Presence. You know, throughout the Bible, there has always been a way to know and experience the presence of God. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, Moses prayed. And these were some of the things that he said, because you got to understand something. Moses was to God a friend. The Bible says in verse 11 of 33, Exodus 33, it says, "And the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." That's just a powerful, powerful thing. And in this relationship, and that's what I'm talking about, peace that is developed in relationship, not peace that you're seeking for and would not know it if you tripped over it. I am talking about a peace that you have developed through relationship, okay? And there is evidence. That's what we're going to speak about, is the evidence that's given by the promise. And then he said in verse 13, Now therefore I pray that if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. I mean, you might want to underline that right there. He says, my presence shall go with you and I'll give you rest. One of the first indicators of the peace of God that is going to cause you to be able to win is that he's going to give you rest. Okay, please, I hadn't even thought about this from this aspect. He's going to give you peace. Jesus is going to show us that in a minute. But here God says, my presence will go, and the way you know that my presence will go is you will have rest that comes from me. Please underline that. He said, my presence will go, and connecting word, and it's a conjunction. Okay? He says, and I will give you rest. If you do not have rest from God, there is a rest that comes from being tired, a fatigue, if you would. And so then because of the fatigue, you need rest. And so because of frustration, you need rest. He's not talking about, please understand this, according to the scripture, he says, my presence shall go with you, and the way you know that my presence is there, I will give you rest. Okay? Let's look at it this way. If I'm receiving something, that means I did not work it up, I did not conjure it up, I simply turned around and it was there. I was in the middle of it, not knowing that it was rest that I was in. Okay? I will do it this way. When you breathe, there was nothing that you had to do to manufacture that breath. See? So then I want you to have an understanding of the rest that comes from God will not come because you did something. According to Exodus chapter 33, he says, verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses said, understanding this, this is, come on, we need to have this. We need to be a friend of God. This is what happens out of a relationship. Notice God said to him, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses' response said this, if your presence does not go with me, carry us not up from hence. He says, if I don't have your presence, if I don't understand the rest that you just spoke of, then don't carry me. Don't let me move. Don't let me think that it's you when I did not leave with the things I'm supposed to have with. Okay, Mom, here we go. If you're going to do it by the Spirit, by God, then there are two things that you're supposed to leave with automatically. One would be his presence. Two would be his rest. If I don't have his presence and his rest, let's make a decision that we won't go. I mean, this is about peace, the power of his presence. If we would understand that, we could stop a whole lot of headaches, heartaches, and troubles in our life. If we would understand, if God's presence doesn't go, neither will I. His presence is what causes the thing to be easy. Please know this, beloved. Easy does not mean that there is an absence of conflict. Okay? One of the definitions that we have for a peace is that it is completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, contentment, nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the ability to affect change by promise. I'm going to say that again. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the ability to affect change by promise. In the time of war, men bring about peace treaties. Why? Because that peace treaty affects change by promise. They have not experienced a time when they were not at war after starting a war. When they signed the treaty, that said, now I have a promise that you will no longer be at odds with me. The only thing that makes it work is a promise. I used to tell my daughter all the time, if you don't have a promise, you don't have a prayer. If I can't find it in the Word of God, I don't have a promise. And if I don't have a promise, I don't have a prayer. There is no way I can ask God to get involved with the thing that I'm trying to do if I don't have his promise on the thing. If I don't have a promise, I don't have a prayer. There is no way God is involved. See, because he's honoring his word, but if you don't know his word, if you're not acting as a friend that he talks to face, then you did not do what it takes to know his presence. So since you don't know his presence, you should not go. If your presence does not go, then don't take me up. Don't let me think that it's you I'm following, because I did not have the two things that I'm supposed to have by definition. Before I move, I'm supposed to have your presence and your rest. Okay? Because I'm supposed to be at peace with completeness, soundness. I'm supposed to have welfare or well-being. Come on, beloved. I'm supposed to have well-being. I'm not going looking for well-being. Okay. See, we need to understand God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's already said what he said yesterday concerning you. Today, he is trying to fulfill that which he said yesterday. After you find out what he's doing, then you can enjoy it forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised it before I knew about it. I found out about it, and now I'm going into the place of investigation and imparting it into my heart by the Holy Spirit. And then when I get that done, now I can enjoy it forever. If I don't have a promise, I don't have a prayer. If I don't have his presence, then I haven't communicated with him as a friend. I am still one that would be found to gaze upon the Lord, as opposed to one that is intimate with the Lord. When you are intimate with the Lord, the Bible teaches us that he will give you secrets. He will reveal to you that which he is doing. But if you are not intimate with him, then don't expect him to tell you what he's doing. Because if he did tell you what he was doing without you being intimate, you would probably mess it up. I found in my life, sometimes even after being intimate, I still mess it up. Because I forgot that I shouldn't go if I don't have his presence, and if I don't have his rest. The evidence of his presence is a victory. And you know how victory comes. Please know that when we come to Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches us he gives us the victory. He always causes us to triumph. No matter what comes against us, he turns it for our good because he gives us the victory. Again, I function from the perspective of a friend receiving a gift. He gives me the victory. He did not tell me to work for the victory, beloved. Notice the prayer that Moses engaged in. He says, if I have found favor in your eyes, if the relationship is solvent, I'll know it because your presence is here. I'll know it because you give me the victory. Not I'll know it because I'm trying to resist the devil. Beloved, please, let's make the scripture true in our hearts. If I resist the devil correctly, the Bible says he will flee. So I should not be spending all of my time in resisting, since God commanded him at the place and point of time of resisting, he got to go. That's what happened when Jesus, he came to tempt Jesus on the mountain, and Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Next thing you read, it says, and the devil leaveth him for a season. Okay, what is that? That is 100% the way I would like for you to see how the presence of God gives rest. The devil left him. Please, please, let's investigate that. He did not go and try to beat the devil up with his strength, his might. He only spoke the promise. If you don't have a promise, you don't have a prayer. So then Jesus only spoke the word. And because the word will work for you, it will work in the thing. Oh, we're going to get to that in Isaiah 55. It will prosper in the thing where God sent it. It will work out deliverance or salvation for you. Yes, deliverance is in the word. Salvation is in the word. So that if I release the word, I just released my salvation, my deliverance. And as the peace of God, the ability to know that this promise has his presence connected to it, has his rest connected to it, that's the power of his presence. The power of his presence is in his word. Because he watches over his word to perform it. In order to cause his word to be done, he watches over it. He is present. Every time he speaks, he watches over that word. It does not leave his presence. So then if I have the word, I have the promise. If I have the promise, I have salvation or deliverance. And the evidence of his presence is the victory that his presence brings. I will give you a little a testimony in my life. And his presence does not have to be just in a tangible state.
because he just said he watches over his word. And word is done with breath, air, okay, spirit. I was young, and I think I was in the last year of elementary school or the first year of junior high. And for some reason, one guy and I just did not see things the same way. And so the only thing he wanted to do was to fight me. And I'm not a fighter. I've just never been a fighter, one that was, you know, ready to go to battle and knock you down so I can get in my way. I just always believed that we should be able to communicate. We should be able to reason together. And so you know how it goes when you're in primary school and junior high school, that they don't want to get themselves in trouble during the year, so they would always wait for the last day of school. And sometimes that could be a fearful experience, because you know after the last day of school that it don't matter what you get, what the teacher want to write up, because there's no more place to write it up. Not again. And so, you know, this is one of the things you're going to have to get in this fight on the last day of school. And since everybody in the school knows where everybody in the school lives back then, because most of us walked to school, okay? There were no buses for everybody. There was generally you walked to school. So everybody would walk in crowds, whatever the crowd was that you hung with, that's the way, you know, you traversed to the house. So, you know, all the way from school to about, I didn't live but maybe five blocks from the school. And so all the way from the school to my house, it was just talk about this fight. I'm going to do this, and, you know, all the way. And I'm just still walking and talking. And I had to walk past my house because I'm not going to take this confrontation to my house. You see, I was just thinking, you know, since I'm doing that, that just didn't look good. If you don't get beat up, you don't want to get beat up at home. Okay. So I was just walking and talking and, you know, and dealing with whatever I could deal with. But I recognize that I cannot avoid this any longer. We're going to have to fight. So as boys would do, when you get into the middle of the circle, because all the people are going to crowd around you and create a circle so they can see whatever the beatdown is going to be. And so I was in the midst of the circle, and this guy was in the midst of the circle. So I got my guards up. I was ready to fight. And he just started, you know, mouthing off. And someone in the crowd said to me, "Hey, aren't you Peanuts, brother?" And so I just answered, because I didn't even think about who it was coming from. I was just answering. I said, "Yeah, that's my brother." And as soon as I said those words, "Yes, that's my brother," the guy that wanted to beat me up dropped his hands to his side and said, "Ooh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to bother you." The fight was over. Why? Because my brother's presence was with me. I was connected relationally to my brother. And because of that, the fight was over. I mean, he really did. Dropped his hands to his side, said, "I'm sorry," put his hand out for me to shake it. Presence caused me to get the victory without having to fight. My brother, if you would, my physical brother, gave me the victory. Well, my spiritual brother is trying to give me the victory. All we have to do is take his name, have his presence, and experience victory. That's what I want you to do. This is peace, the power of his presence. See, the devil has already been defeated. It tells us that in Colossians, that Jesus triumphed over the devil and led captivity captive. He paraded the devil around, and the last thing the devil had to say is, "Jesus is Lord." And all of his imps saw that. Know that. That is recorded. That's why the devil is not in a hurry to try to fight God And if you have on the whole armor of God, just give you something to think about. The devil don't know if that's you in that armor or if that's God. All he knows is the last time he saw that armor, he got the snot beat out of him. He's not in a hurry to just run up there and see if that's God in you. He sends things that he can understand the presence of God manifest or not. If you're going to function in the flesh, then he knows that that's not God in that armor. Well, I'll say it this way. He'll know that you don't trust in the armor. Because if you're going to trust in the flesh and make flesh your arm, then he's going to test that to see if that's God's reaction, if you would. See? And if you are the one that is always has been reactionary, then he'll say, okay, see, that's not patient. If you're reactionary, that's why it was called the book of Acts and not the book of Reacts, because they were patient. They were constantly the same. And so when the devil sees the character of God released, he kind of slows down his roll. But if he sees somebody getting in the flesh, then he knows that battle is already over. That's why the Bible says he seeks those he can devour. What he does is he pits you to see if your reaction is going to be one of the spirit or one of the flesh. Because if you sow to the flesh, you shall then of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. See, this is the power of his presence that produces peace in your life. If you understand that God's presence, which gives you rest, is with you, then you don't need to fight. Because you will know that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord. And since it's the Lord's, I can count on him that has decreed that he has my back. He is my rear reward. He is the one that goes before me. See, so just like Moses said, if I don't have your presence, if I don't have your peace, if I don't have your rest, I'm not going. I'm just going to stay right here. Just as a question, beloved, if I've got to allow God to deliver me, why don't I stay where I need deliverance? You know, one of the first things they used to tell people, I went to amusement parks as a child, and one of the things my daddy told me is that if I got separated, if I got lost, the best thing I can do is stay where I'm lost, because they will come looking for me and they can find me where I was lost at. But if I'm looking for them and they're looking for me, I am moving away from my place of safety. I am moving away from the place where I'm going to be found. Since God's going to have to deliver me, it will be best for me to finish what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, when I put on the whole armor of God. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Please note, as you see that, and this was not part of where I was going, but I can just sense God in it. Notice what you don't have to do with that. Just flip over there to Ephesians chapter 6. All right? Let's just see this. See, the power of his presence, that gives me the ability to stand, doesn't it? See, so the fight is going to be done in the spirit by my elder brother with his word. Please, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Verse 10 and following, chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, original things, against powers, authority, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Beloved, that is twice in the last two sentences that he said something about the whole armor. When God repeats himself, it's important. Take the time to hear what he's saying. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Please help me. Where did you see him tell you to fight in this whole dialogue? He told you to stand and be ready. That's all he told you to do. Put on the whole armor. Make sure you're dressed right. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Have the gospel shoes on your feet in preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench the fiery darts. You'll be able to put them out. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he said, once you are standing there, he only asks you to use your words. Praying. I don't know how it's written in your Bible, what version of the Bible that you have. But if you will notice, he did not tell you to start wielding weapons that are not spiritual. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So see, if I understand that God is giving me his peace, and the peace that he gives me is the power of his presence, I have a big brother that has already won every single fight. And when I call upon him, he simply gives me the victory. He made me more than a conqueror. You do know what more than a conqueror is. It's one that gets the victory without having to fight. He did not say I was a co-conqueror. He said I was more than a conqueror. Just please, you know, look at it and understand it from a spiritual construct. God has given me the victory, which made me more than a conqueror. And here I am going to fight the battle in the flesh, make demands of whoever has offended me. You know, it would be better for you to give release to whoever has offended you. That's what the Bible says for you to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. The Bible tells you, forgive if you have aught against any. The Bible teaches us principle of release. For whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Please understand the concept. God didn't ask you to go fight in the flesh. He'd rather you release in the spirit so that you can make statements as Jesus made, the prince of this world cometh, but he doesn't have anything in me. There's no way he can win. He hasn't been able to plant in my life corruption. Because I decided I'm going to take unto me the whole armor of God. Not only am I going to take it, I'm going to put it on. You know, David taught us this. Saul tried to get David to go fight Goliath with armor that David had not proved. And David said, no, I know I got this great big old sword, but this ain't my sword. This ain't my weapon. I know you got this all this armor that you want me to, but that's not my. He said, I'm going to go take what I know works. And the Bible says David reached down to the ground, and he got 5 smooth stones, and he used his sling. And he only had to throw one, and it became a guided missile, if you would. It became a instrument in the hand of God. It didn't go to the right or to the left of Goliath's head. It didn't go to his feet. No, it went straight into his head and sunk into his head. Why? Because that was a weapon that a friend had showed him how to use. So then I ask you, friend of God, what has he showed you how to use? One of the weapons that he would give us would be prayer. And that's what he cited here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then watch this. I hadn't seen that before. Then he says, and your eyes, please, 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 praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and look from that position. Let your eyes be upon the word that comes out of your mouth as prayer. Hallelujah. Let's just divide that one. It's right there. Let's divide it rightly. He said, pray with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and look at it from that aspect, watching thereunto. I'm watching what? I'm watching my prayer. Why am I watching my prayer? Because I have a promise from God, and the promise brings victory, because the promise contains, is ushered by his presence. And I have no need to fight in this battle, because the battle is not mine; it's the Lord's. And if I would pray for my enemy, watch this. Come on, y'all. Proverbs chapter 16. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. He says, by mercy, okay, let's just look at the whole thing. I might come back to Ephesians. I don't know yet. But I'm just trying to get you to understand the spiritual connotation. Because if I don't get the power from peace, the power of his presence, then I'm not going to get this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Listen to this, verse 6 and 7. He says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he, the Lord, maketh his, even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness. Better is a little in right standing with the view that God has. Better is a little in righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directed his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. All right, let's just tie this to Ephesians chapter 6. If I'm interceding for my enemy, that would be pleasing to the Lord, wouldn't it? Because that's what God told us to do. Jesus said it. It's in read in your Bible. Pray for those that despitefully use you. He did not say, retaliate, help me, help me. He did not say, retaliate against those that despitefully. He said, pray. Why? Because when you pray, that's part of the whole armor of God. take it unto you. Be dressed correctly, and then fight in the spirit, praying with all manner of prayer, supplication in the spirit, and look from that position. In other words, your victory is going to come out of your prayer. Come on now. Otherwise, he would not tell you to look watching thereunto. He would not tell you to look there for victory. Here you are. You are standing up ready for war. And he says, now, since you're dressed right, with the right mindset, heart position, now pray. And when you pray, glory to God. This is the power of his presence. Now, when you pray, he will be able to accomplish through you because your words and his words align up. Amen. See, so it's not an issue now. Oh, don't you remember in Psalms 37, it says we're supposed to delight ourselves also in the Lord. And when we delight in him, he will then give us the desires of our heart. Why? Because I'm not trying to fight a fight that's going to make me look good in anybody's eyes except God's. And the way he wants me to look good, he just said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him. Because he does it with righteousness. Just reading this, I mean, just looking at it together. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but God is interested in his steps going different. According to this, a man's heart thinks about one way of doing it, but God orders the man's steps. He directs his steps. Okay. Here's Moses' prayer. Lord, if your presence don't go up, don't let me go up. Don't cause me to move. And see, here God just ties that together and said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from doing things their own way. Revenge, retaliation. Men depart from that because mercy and truth purged it from you. Then when my ways have to be a different way now, when my ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine sentence. Come on now. So then let's look at this. There are sentences that are divine, and there are sentences that are not divine. Remember, we're in the place of prayer. Having done all, okay, to stand therefore, be dressed, and pray. Okay? Now, when I pray, I am releasing a divine sentence, a sentence that God can be involved with, a sentence that connects me with glory, not a sentence that connects me with flesh. Oh, beloved, I'm hoping your eyes are open here. This is what God is looking for in the earth. Because we've been battling in the flesh. And I guess we can tell it's in the flesh because we just get tired and never got rest. When I fight the way God says fight, he says my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He will give you strategies, beloved, that the enemy is not thinking about, not aware of. That's why it says very clearly, if they had known in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if the verse 9, if they had known that Jesus was the Son of God, really, and he was going to do what God told him to do, really, they thought they was tricking him into dying. Because it said if they had known that he was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. If they would have known this was the plan that God had, they never would have crucified him. They wouldn't have helped their own demise. But God gives you strategies that the devil doesn't know, understand, or comprehend. The Bible says darkness does not comprehend the light. Okay? And God is asking you to trust him to the place where the peace releases the power of his presence. If you don't trust him, then there is no way you can find this peace. Because you just want to get out of trouble rather than be delivered in the midst of trouble. Come on, Hebrew boys. They threw him in the fiery furnace that was seven times hotter. God did not take them out of the fire. He delivered them in the fire. It says, and the fire did not have any harm on them. They had no hurt on them. They didn't even smell like smoke, beloved. Come on. Surely, if you're going to go in the fire, you're going to at least smell like smoke. But because God has strategies, ways of deliverance that the enemy does not even understand. I mean, just as I thought about this now, when I get delivered while I'm still in the middle of the thing, there's not much the devil can do to make me move now. There's not much the devil can do to make me not trust God, because I wasn't delivered from the thing. I was delivered in the thing. In other words, it was like, shoot your best shot, devil. It still doesn't matter, because my God is God. Glory, glory, glory. I hope you get that. A lot of times, we're just trying to get out of the trouble, get away from, separate ourselves from whatever it is that is causing us discomfort. And God wants to use that discomfort to deliver you supernaturally. You still get the victory. But this is the victory that he gives to those that trust him. He says the same thing he said to the Egyptians, about the Egyptians. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more forever. In other words, I don't have to go back and revisit this fight. This fight is over. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it's finished. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He don't have to go through that ever again. But we want to be delivered from the thing instead of allowing God to deliver us in the thing, so that we would come out as pure gold. We will come out not being singed, the clothes not being burned. I don't even have the aroma of smoke on me. And all the time while I was going through, there was somebody in the circumstance with me. The king looked down and said, well, I see four men walking around loose. I put three in bound. I see four walking around loose, and the fire has no harm on them. Daniel in the lion's den. Put him in there and say, yeah, we know it's all over. And the men that were throwing Daniel in, before they could even hit the ground, the lions had ate their bones. Come on, y'all. I mean, he didn't deliver him from it. He delivered him in it. And the testimony that they had after that, that's how God got glory. Because you looking at people that were steadfast and unmovable in their resolve that, God, this is up to you. I don't have to get involved with your business. You know how to deliver by many or by few. You know no limits or no restraints. All things are possible with you. I have peace because I have the power of your presence. You know what? Just thinking about that, y'all. If the power of his presence is what's required, then I'm going to have to reject pride then, aren't I? Because God rejects or resists the proud. So if I'm going to be a self-deliverer, someone that goes about trying to get myself out of trouble, that would be, in my understanding, that would be a person that's functioning in pride, and God resists the proud. But he gives more grace. More grace. Come on, y'all. He gives more grace to the humble. Wherefore, he tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee. Submit to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Did you just hear that, beloved? It says, if I resist the devil, he'll flee. But if I submit myself to God, he will draw nigh unto me. I will have more of his presence manifest. He will draw nigh unto me. He will not, come on, that's good, sir. He will not deliver me from afar. He will deliver me right there where I am. He will have his hands all upon me. I will be placed in the cleft of his hands. And then in the cleft of his hands, the Bible says, no man is able to pluck him out of the Father's hand. I'll be there. Because I've decided that I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to have peace through the thing. And as I'm looking at this and understanding this, see, that kind of peace, that kind of commitment, first of all, God is not going to look lightly upon that. He's going to now build upon that so that you will be able to release glory in the earth. You will be able to then pray and invite other people into the place of peace where you abide. The Bible says you've been called unto peace. Called there. But most of the time, we haven't visited that place of peace and come out with the victory that that peace provides for us. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the ability to affect change by promise. And God gives us covenants, guidelines, and conditions so that we can establish his word in the earth. He wants to change our lives by promise. Jesus said in the New Testament, John 14:27, peace I give with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the Amplified, it says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. He just gave it to you as an inheritance. He bequeathed his peace to you. This is the same peace that kept him in the worst time of his life. Brothers and sisters, we have not entered into the worst time of our life. I know it feels like it, but we have not. Because he will not cause you to be tempted above that which you are able. But will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. See, if we would understand this, that this peace that kept Jesus in the midst of the worst time of his life, he gave us that peace. He didn't say, I give you a second peace. He said, my peace. I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it. Neither let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, disturbed, and not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. He said, don't let that happen. Because when I have a covenant, and that's what I wanted to show you. He was in Isaiah. He wants to give us a covenant of peace. In Isaiah 9, that was one of the things that he said. See? Let's just go there. Where did I have that up? Isaiah 9. And you know this. Let's just look at that. What he said about Jesus. See, we enter into covenant with him over the things. When we do it, we enter into covenant. We become one that is established. I'm trying to get back to my notes. Y'all pray for me. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7, and the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I want you to know that See, when I enter into this place where peace functions in my life on purpose, because the power and the presence of God is there, he says the increase of peace will never end. The increase of peace. Glory to God. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice, henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, we've got to get to the place where we enter into the covenant. You can study, because I'm not going to have time to get to it, you can study Isaiah 54, 7 through, but the whole chapter is good. I was just going to try to reference verses 7 through 17. Because remember, this is where we hear, I'll try to do this, go to Isaiah 54. This is the promises that we have. This is the covenant. The increase of this peace, the increase of this government, there will not be an end. Verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies, please circle that in your Bibles, with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my faith from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For as the waters of Noah unto me, for I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Come on, y'all. I want you to get this. When we start understanding that his presence is there to back up this covenant, he says, even though you're going through stuff, even though you don't sense my presence, he says, I have a covenant with you that my covenant of peace will not be removed, saith the Lord, and have mercy on thee. Oh, thou, when you feel bad, afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will change things. I will lay stones fair with colors, and I will lay the foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncle, and that all of thy borders shall be of pleasant stones. And listen to this promise. And all thy children, not some of them, y'all, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear from terror. For thou shalt not fear, and you shall be far from terror, because you will not fear. Because you are, I want you to catch this. He says, in righteousness you shall be established. Beloved, he did not say, in righteousness you shall visit every once in a while. He said, in righteousness, he wants you to be established. Righteousness is God's view, or the view of a thing as it ought to be. And he says, you'll be established. Come on now. You'll have your eyes set on this. Remember, in Ephesians, he told you to pray with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching from that position. Why? Because that helps you to be established in righteousness. God's view, the view of a thing as it ought to be. See? That's what will happen. And then when you have this view, you will be far from oppression. You will not fear. You will be far from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Okay, come on, y'all. When you have a right view of a thing, notice what God said would happen. When you are established in righteousness, he says you will not fear. Why? Because you are established. He says you will not deal with terror, because terror won't come near you. You remember what it says in Psalms 91? See, These are the promises that we have to get, understand, and hold on to. This is what he wants to establish in our life. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him and set him on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You will be established in righteousness, in that way of thinking. You will be established as a covenant-minded person. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, because it will not come nigh thee. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, know this, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I created the waster to destroy, verse 17, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. See, he wants you to be established in righteousness, not one that visits and hopes it'll be there. He said he wants you to be established in it so that you can resist the lies of the enemy, so that you can tell and inform the devil and all of his imps. No. That's not how this is going down. Because any tongue that rises against me, any tongue that accuses me, I will condemn. How? Because I'll be established in righteousness. I don't have to fear when terror comes, because it cannot come nigh my dwelling. Not only do I have covenant promise that's made specifically to me, but I have angelic hosts helping me, because he said he will give his angels. He didn't say angel. He said angels. Glory to God. I don't know how many angels I would have helping assist me in anything the devil brings. As they will bear me up in their hands, lest at any time I should dash my foot against the stone, or that I should be in a hard place. Why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He did not say the weapon would not be formed. He just said, once you see the weapon, that's the end of his prosperity. No weapon formed can prosper. Once I identify the weapon must stop. It cannot prosper. It cannot continue to get bigger, badder. It cannot. He says, once I identify the weapon, whatever it is, that's the end of its life. It is just run its course. But I have to be established in righteousness. All of my children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. It didn't say little peace. It said great will be their peace. The thing that we probably are concerned about the most, our children. God made promise to me that if I will allow my heart to be established in righteousness, that my children would have great peace and undisturbed composure. Beloved, peace is the power of his presence. Peace is what should cause me to be sustained in the place I'm standing. Because he didn't tell me to stand if he didn't give me the victory. He didn't tell me to stand if he did not give me the weapons that would cause me to be victorious in every situation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. None. And my victory, according to Ephesians, is to put on the whole armor of God and then pray. Knowing that the peace of God, according to Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and I like the way he turned it around. He said that the God of peace will bruise Satan under my heel shortly. Because his presence is there, then the God of peace is going to go and whoop up on the devil for me, because the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. But I have to know that. Function in the place of victor, not victim. That's what pleases God. Because when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Will you allow that peace, the power of his presence, to be the place where you abide? The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word, a word that settles us in your will, settles us in the peace of God, causes us to know the effectiveness of prayers in the position of power that you called us to and made us rest in. We give you praise for that. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, folks, let's get ready to go to the lines and get commentary on tonight's teaching on peace, the power of his presence. Area code 228.
Hi, I was blessed.
Amen. Amen. That's what we're here for. Amen. Take the time again to just reflect on that, because he gave you this peace so that you can enjoy it. Okay? It's not there to frustrate us. I've heard people out of exasperation say, well, God gave me peace. Well, it didn't sound like you received it. I don't know. So just enjoy that. Amen. Glad to have you on the air tonight.
Amen. All right. Area code 845.
God bless everybody.
Shalom, brother.
God bless
brother.
Back to you. Amen.
Yeah, shalom, brother. Yeah, peace. Shalom, actually. That's what God gives. Especially as the scriptures say, if our minds are stayed upon God, and
yes, sir,
that's exactly what we should be experiencing. It was awesome, teaching brother. Always very much
amen,
appreciated,
amen.
And I'm always learning, always getting lifted up, and myself trying to draw close to a God too, and trying to just stay in peace too, brother. And
amen.
You know, amen. Just trying to stay in those scriptures. Trying to stay away from distraction. And just learning, you know, and just trying to get that knowledge in, and then once that knowledge kind of sits in there, then go out and just live like Jesus Christ lived, you know.
Yeah.
And stay in peace, brother. always
amen.
with that perfect love and that perfect peace, brother.
That's good.
Going on in this crazy world. But praise
so
God, right. Though. Right?
Well, what did he tell you to do when you saw the crazy all right coming up every day? So he told us to find peace in it.
Yes.
He told us we should say things, we should declare peace. So we can call for peace.
Yes.
And unfortunately for us as Christians, what we do is we begin to give more credence to what the devil is seeming to do and forget about what God has already done. If he said it's finished, then that would have had to just, and I had never thought about it from this perspective. If Jesus said it is finished, that means that whatever is coming up has already been covered. Otherwise, he would have said, I'll be back in a minute. See?
That's very true.
But he said it's finished. So if it's finished, then it has to be finished. But we go, well, you must not know about this here part, Jesus. No, that too. It's finished. I had never thought about it from that aspect before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. It's all finished, brother. It's, man, the Lord knows it all, you know. He's he's the Alpha. And he's the Omega too. So
that's right.
We just gotta trust him, you know. Just trust his word, you know. God, Jesus is the word, and once once that really, I guess, kind of starts to resonate in a person, especially a Christian, then we could just really try to take our focus off everything that that Satan is trying to distract us with, and then just really focus on all of the wonderful things that God has already done. Not to acknowledge devils, demons, evil spirits, and everything else, but you know, just to really just try to focus on God. I mean, at least in my life, that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm just trying to try to really focus on what Jesus has already said and done in his word, so I could just really, you know, abide in his peace, because it's a distraction.
See, again, some people will try to push things to one side or the other. Jesus acknowledged the devil. I don't think he's going to ask me to do anything less. Okay? So I don't have an issue with that. But see, Jesus calls us to think from this perspective. Get thee behind me. Yeah, you're doing stuff. I just need for you to do it in the proper place. Get behind me. Okay? I don't need you all up in my face. I don't need you all up in my thoughts. Just get in your place. Your place is behind me. See, and we can tell the devil, according to what Jesus did, his place is under our feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm not going to try to be equal in that aspect and say, okay, get behind me. No. Get underneath my feet. I'm in the body, and therefore the body is on top. I'm elevated. Get under my feet.
That's right. That's right, brother. That's very good. And I just want to say one little last thing about that. It says that we are set in heavenly places with Christ. So, and
correct.
Christ is
correct.
Above all principality and power and you know, everything. Then that means that all that stuff got to be underneath us. So.
See?
There you go.
So again, I'm not saying to ignore the devil. No.
Yes.
Put him in his place.
and then go on and do what you got to do. It's always good to talk to you, my brother. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Man,
to
you too, brother. Amen. Amen. You got it, brother. Yeah. Brother
Amen.
Mike, God bless you, brother, brother.
Bless you,
God
too,
have
brother.
A good night.
You too, bro.
Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, that looks like the end of the callers. Pastor Steve, is there anything else you'd like to close out with?
No, just I guess we're going to try to finish this. I'll try to get into my notes. That was that was just spontaneous. I started with the first half a sentence, and there we go. So I'll try
Amen.
To do – I know part two is going to be next week, so we'll just try to do that.
Amen. All right. Well, folks, that is the end of tonight's broadcast. Please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by the teachings that you heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Also, don't forget that we are offering the Apostolic A School again. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us at overtonnavy1@gmail.com. Now, that being said, shalom, everyone. Good night, and may the Most High bless you in all your endeavors. Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Be blessed.
Shalom.